go ahead and light it. Wait, I might be able to light it right up there. We'll see. Got it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed in God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over these waters, and by your word you created the world. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as sons and daughters, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water, this water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Mercy on us, Lord.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that binds us, that we may receive you in joy and serve you always. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading.
Good morning. Our first reading is from Micah, the 5th chapter. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. And the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in his majesty, the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And he shall be the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil, we will raise against them 7 shepherds, and 8 installed as rulers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you now to read responsively with me Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers?
You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure.
You made us the scorn of our neighbors, our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine that we may be saved. Our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "See, God, I have come to do your will, O God, in the scroll of the book it is written of me." When he said above, "You have neither desire nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law." Then he added, "See, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sacrificed through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
So, right before this happens, an angel shows up to Mary and's like, "Hey, you're pregnant," and this is what happens after that. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is most certainly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. My sermon on this from 3 years ago? No? Oh, that was a trick question because I didn't give it a sermon on this 3 years ago. From which point I should probably ask, anyone here ever not want to write a sermon so badly that they have a seizure during the middle of writing it? And this thought occurred to me as I was writing this sermon. Maybe I was struck with a seizure in the middle of that sermon because it was terrible and God didn't want me to preach it. I mean, that's always a possibility as well. Either way, if you weren't here 3 years ago, I'll fill you in. I was literally writing this sermon on this text 3 years ago for the fourth Sunday of Advent while I had a seizure, about 800 words in, which is probably about the right length for a sermon. I just double it usually. So I've preached on this a little bit before, and I'll touch on it again today. So this was no ordinary seizure. I'd had seizures before, but this one was different. This was a full-on lose consciousness for 30 to 45 minutes, kind of seizure, found by my 10-year-old daughter at the time. She's now 13. It was that kind of seizure, one that led to 911 being called kind of seizure. A cop show up along with the paramedics kind of seizure, because apparently when I was in a half state of consciousness afterward, I really didn't want to go to the hospital, and Andrea and my neighbor were trying to restrain me from going down the hall and down the stairs to I don't know where. I was probably going to run out into the street, and they kept that from happening. And when you have a seizure like that, even if you've had seizures before, you are really, really afraid of something like that happening again. You're afraid for yourself, and you're afraid for what it might mean for your family, for them to experience it again. And this, for me and for Andrea and perhaps some of my children, was a very life-altering event. So that's just one story. That's my story. And I'm fairly confident, there may be some other epileptics here, but I'm fairly confident that we're not all epileptic. But I know we all have stories like that, don't we? What's your story? My life will forever be different from this point forward story. I've been here for some of those stories for you. And if I haven't been here, I've certainly heard many of them, many of these life's different for me now kind of stories. What for you are these huge life-altering events, these events that incite terror and fear and panic, sadness, events that are so life-altering that we can't just go back to living our normal lives afterwards? Events that cause us to live on in fear or pain or suffering or both. Fear of recurrence, perhaps, overtaking remission. Fear of maybe another heart attack or stroke. A physical pain, a physical loss, a loss of physical function, a loss that keeps us from doing all the things that we used to be able to do with ease, the loss of someone we love, a spouse, a child, a parent. What for you is this life is different now, forever and forevermore event, this event that when you think of it makes you fearful, incites pain. Today we find ourselves privy to one of these life is different now events. It is a story that starts even before Mary's visit to Elizabeth. It starts with another visit, as I mentioned before I read this story, when Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel, who dropped this bombshell on her, right? Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Okay, I like where this is going so far. But then he continues with these ominous words. Don't be afraid. Okay, I gotta tell you, Angel Gabriel, I wasn't afraid until you said that. Don't be afraid. For you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and his kingdom, there will be no end. Which, I think if we look on the surface of this, it'd be great to be the mom of someone like that. Not that you guys aren't great. But there's a problem, right? I know that you've probably heard this before, and it started to become cliche, and I'm going to say it again and again and again and again. The problem here is that Mary is set to become an unwed teenage mother in a world that was very hostile to unwed teenage mothers. Except for it was even worse than that for her, because she was betrothed, and betrothal was a legal thing then. So she legally belonged to Joseph, and per those laws of Deuteronomy, she could be stoned if they were following those laws. She could be stoned for being pregnant with a child that did not belong to Joseph, the one to whom she was betrothed. Now, we're not sure, I should be clear, we're not sure whether these laws were still being followed in the first century, but the possibility we know is not zero. We do, however, know this for certain. This was an honor-shame culture in which Mary lived, and bearing a child outside of marriage was very shameful, and it caused such shame, in fact, that unwed mothers of this way age were sometimes, oftentimes, pressured to abandon their infants. to death. Which is just a tremendous outcome, right? Let's round of applause for Shane. No one's clapping, why not? She may not have gotten the sarcasm. And therefore, if she keeps the child, she could very well be cast out of this society, a society that was built on family structures that helped raise one another's children, and left to raise this child on her own with no family, no community, no societal supports. So, once again, let's hear it for being ostracized to the point of exclusion, eh? Well, I clap. Why can't she? See, Mary knows this, and now she's facing not only the reality of being a peasant woman, which was not easy in first century Galilee, but also being a fully shamed and excluded peasant woman with a child to raise. Oh, and no pressure, Mary, but this isn't just any child. This isn't just any baby. You're carrying the hopes and dreams of an entire people. And as we will find out, all people. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. You know, all people, these people who are going to turn on you and shun you for carrying this child that will save them. Let's hear it for being shunned. Yeah, one last time. No? Perhaps not. Because of how this society functioned, because of how this world worked, Mary rightly feared that she would carry this child, that she would birth this child, that she would bear the burden of an entire people, her people, alone. Alone. So our story picks up as she is seeking to escape the judging eyes of a world that she knew would shame and exclude and shun her. She does this by traveling to see her relative, Elizabeth, hoping beyond some kind of hope that maybe, just maybe, Elizabeth might offer her some amount of compassion that this world would not and could not. And upon seeing Mary, what happens? What happens? Mary hears Elizabeth exclaim with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the Lord has come to me? That the mother of my Lord has come to me. Blessed is she who believed." And there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. In that moment, God answers Mary's doubts and fears, her terror and panic, through a real, actual person in the history of this world, and her name was Elizabeth. Mary would likely have feared, as she was nearing Elizabeth, telling her this ridiculous story. What if Elizabeth said, "Yeah, right, a virgin pregnancy, sure, Mary, sure." But Mary had to say nothing. The leaping of the miracle child in her own womb proclaimed Mary's truth to Elizabeth. Elizabeth knew of Mary's great fear, her uncertainty, and her expectation in that moment. Elizabeth knew of Mary's great faith. And the Holy Spirit gave her the words to speak into Mary's fear and trepidation, her confusion and grief. And these words of compassionate, spontaneous, and joy proclaimed by Elizabeth, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I should add, they are what free Mary to sing a song of praise, the likes of which this world has never heard before and will never hear again, the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Mary begins her song of praise by praising God for what God has done for her in her lowly state. Yes, for blessing her with a child, which in her situation, as we've covered, maybe wasn't such a blessing if we're honest. That is until God blesses Mary with Elizabeth and the words of Elizabeth. You see, Elizabeth is one with wisdom and understanding, one who is able to discern God's activity in the world, one who sees Mary's role in God's activity in the world and speaks comfort to Mary on God's very own behalf. Mary, in Elizabeth's words and actions and welcome, sees and feels and experiences God with her. And for her, it changes everything about this lowly state that she is in. Without Elizabeth, there is no song of praise. There is no Magnificat. There is instead an unwed, terrified, soon-to-be mother with the weight of her people crushing her. My dear siblings in Christ, what for you is that life-altering event? And who is your Elizabeth? When I had that seizure, I had two Elizabeths standing right there with me, keeping me from pushing down that hallway, trying to get me back into that bedroom so I didn't hurt myself. And that was before I was even conscious and aware of what was going on in the world around me. And in the months that followed, I continued to struggle with panic attacks and anxiety, still do. But these Elizabeths kept multiplying, and I really can't count them all. And honestly, I'm not sure how I would have made it from then until now, preaching this sermon 3 years later, the sermon that I didn't preach 3 years ago, without these many Elizabeths offering their comfort and compassion, which is what freed me from this paralyzing fear. So I ask you again, who are your Elizabeths? Who have shown up, who have spoken up and spoken God's words of comfort in the face of pain and suffering and fear for you? And what about them? What about what they said or did? What made them Elizabeth to you? Because there's a twist here. Not only do we all need Elizabeths to show up for us, God asks us to show up to this world, to our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, our coworkers, as Elizabeth to them. And if you don't feel equipped to do it, if you feel inadequate, remember this. First, when we don't have the words, God will provide them just as God did for Elizabeth. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through her. Second, showing up, being present, is 95% of being Elizabeth. And third, I can guarantee you that you've already done it. You may not know it, but you've already showed up and been Elizabeth. More times than you know. This life can be so very, very hard. It can leave us trembling and fear and terrified about what lies ahead, feeling as if we're completely abandoned even by God. But we don't have to stay in this awful place. What we hear today is an invitation to experience God's promise by seeking Elizabeth, as Mary did. And we are invited to proclaim God's promise by being Elizabeth to our neighbor. Now, a word of caution. This is not a promise that all will be well. This is not a promise that all will be made better. This is not a promise that life will return to normal. You know that. You've felt it. You've experienced it. I'm no longer paralyzed by fear of a seizure, but I am ever, forever changed by that seizure, and I still, as I said, suffer from those panic attacks. There is no going back from that. Mary's world didn't suddenly somehow become okay with unwed mothers. She was not yet safe. And surely not everyone believed her when she said she was carrying David's heir. That's just preposterous. There is a gift, there is a promise, though, today that we receive. It's the gift of presence and comfort of one another. It is the promise that in and through these Elizabeths, we will experience God's very words and presence. And in these words of comfort and compassion, we hear and we know that the fruit of Mary's womb is, in fact, the Lord. We hear and we know that Emmanuel comes to us through Mary, and he will come again. And when he does, all our pain and suffering, all of our tears, all of our fears will be wiped away. And the entirety of Mary's Magnificat, the whole thing, it will be fulfilled. And this world will be turned upside down. My siblings in Christ, that is a very good thing. And this is most certainly the promise that sustains us in our Advent waiting. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Kenzie McGugan and Camden Smith. So, please, whenever you're ready, Adam, you can play the hymn, and if you are involved in the baptism, please come back here. I don't want you to have to stand for the whole thing, but also it's happening back here. So if you want to stand, go for it. If not, your call. I will ask you to stand at one point. In baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn of God and made members of the church, the body of Christ. Living with Christ and in the communion of saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. Who presents Kennedy McGugan and Camden Smith for baptism? Kennedy and Camden, called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God. If you do you desire to be baptized into Christ? If so, please respond, I do. I heard it. You all heard it, right? Kennedy and Camden, as you receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live among God's faithful people, to come hear the word of God and partake in the Holy Supper, to learn the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to study the Holy Scriptures, to be nurtured in faith and prayer, so that you may learn to trust God, to proclaim Christ through word and deed, to care for others in the world God made, and to work for justice and peace. I know, that's a lot. But there's going to be some people who promise to help you with that. So, do you promise to try to live in the Christian faith and life? And if so, please respond, I do. Hey, they said yes. Mike, Tammy, and Alexandria, do you promise to nurture Kennedy and Camden in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help them live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? If so, please respond, I do. You all, you don't get out of this. Do you, people of God, promise to support Kennedy and Camden and pray for them in their new life in Christ? If so, please respond, we do.
We do.
Is that good enough? They need to say it again. He wants you to say it again. If so, please respond, we do.
We do.
I like it. So, to this whole assembly, I ask you to stand in body or in spirit as we profess our shared faith in Jesus Christ, as we reject sin and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and the forces that defy God? If so, please respond, I renounce them.
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? If so, please respond, I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? If so, please respond, I renounce them. So now I'm going to refer you to the front wall if you don't know the words. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe. Was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into heaven. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, holy God. You are the creator of the waters of this earth. You are the fire of rebirth. You poured out your spirit on your people, Israel. You breathed life into our dry bones. Your son, Jesus, promised to send the spirit to us that the world may know your peace and truth. Pour out your Holy Spirit now and breathe new life into Kennedy and Camden. By your spirit, adopt us as your children through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. So, before we do this whole thing, I have to warn you, I changed it up a little bit, not the main part, but you all have a response after they're baptized, each one of them, and it's this little song, and it will be up there, so when Adam starts playing it, where's Adam? You got it?
We got it.
All right, so when he starts playing it, you know, look up there, and we're going to sing this joyous response to their baptism. You ready? She's like, maybe.
Sorry, baby, bring your baby suit.
Kennedy McGugan, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from their sins, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Kennedy with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. The spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen.
One second.
You're good. I got my own stuff to do, so. Kennedy, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. All right, Camden, you up, buddy. Come here. You sustain Camden with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Camden, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Let us welcome the newly baptized. I think maybe there's a part, but I didn't highlight it. So I'm going to say it for us all. We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming light to all the world. And before I did that, I was supposed to do this. I always mess it up some way or another. So we are going to give you these candles. So what you're asked to do with these candles is every day, every day you are to remember your baptism, but every year on December 22nd, you light these candles in remembrance of your baptisms. So let us welcome the newly baptized. I've made you stand long enough, so I ask that you be seated. We will sing the third hymn of We Are Baptized in Christ Jesus and continue with our prayers of intercession. Awesome job, Dave. Great job. I'm sorry I soaked you. Standing, so I will remain seated for our prayers of intercession. Are there any additional prayers this morning? Oh my God. Any additional prayers this morning? Abby. Patty.
Judy.
Al. Peace for the world. Not asking for much, are you? Let us pray. And again, you're invited to remain seated. As we prepare for Emmanuel, God with us, let us pray for all people and places that long for God's presence.
God, our uniter, increase communication and cooperation in our relationships with those of other religions, faith traditions, and those within our own faith tradition, especially between First Lutheran and St. Paul Lutheran churches. We pray that broken relationships may be restored, especially our relationship with Trinity Lutheran Church. Root your church in the radical message of your incarnation and enable us to pursue your justice in the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. God, our sovereign, Mary proclaims a new way of life that lifts up the lowly and fills the hungry with good things. nurture in local governments, especially here in Galleon and in Crawford County, a desire to care for all who are overlooked and ignored, for the homeless, the underemployed and unemployed, those in assisted care facilities, those struggling to find affordable housing, and those who struggle to stretch their pay to the end of the week or month. Lord, in your mercy.
God, our guide, shepherd the leadership of this congregation. Bless First Lutheran's Council as it transitions membership in January, our various committees and teams, and paid and unpaid support staff in the discerning future ministries of First Lutheran. Open the hearts of all at First Lutheran and its leadership to the voices of Galleon, Crawford County, and the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer. O God, our beacon, as the northern hemisphere begins to slowly turn toward more daylight, remind us that even in the deepest nights, you are there. Comfort the lonely and the bereaved. Hold closely the frightened, anxious, depressed, and ill, especially Fred, Caden and his family, Kevin, Linda, Joe, Haley, Paige, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Tina, Barb, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Ed, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, Patty, Judy, and Al. And for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy.
God, our life, you remember your promises we receive in our baptisms. Today, as we celebrate the newly baptized, Kennedy McGugan and Camden Smith remind all the baptized that in these waters we die and rise with Jesus Christ each day until we finally rest with all the saints in your loving arms. Lord, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that Mary's proclamation, Mary's song of praise, her Magnificat, may be fulfilled. We pray that in the fulfillment of her Magnificat, this world would have peace. Lord, in your mercy. Savior of the nations, come and receive these prayers and the pleas of our hearts. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Offerings.
Pray. Creator God, you made the whole world, even the farthest stars, and you draw near to feed us. We praise you for these gifts of bread and wine. Strengthen us with this food that we may live in expectation for the advent of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Eventually singing. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us pray together as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The one who prepared this meal is near. So come, all of you, eat, drink, and be sustained in your waiting. Now the body and may the body and blood of our Lord. I'm going to start that over. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Generous God, we thank you for the gift of life, for the bread of salvation. We thank you for coming among us, for leading us into peace. We thank you for showering us with mercy. for sending us into the world. Come, Lord Jesus, and go with us as we feed the hungry in your name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Tuesday, as in not tomorrow, but the next day, we will have a Christmas Eve candlelight service here at 7 p.m. Pre-service music will begin at 6:45, so please come and gather with us as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, on the 25th, I will be celebrating that by not being here for about a week. If you have a pastoral care emergency in that time, please contact me. If it is not an emergency, please contact the church office, and I'll follow up when I return. Any other announcements this morning? I don't know. I think she'll be here Tuesday. She'll probably take Wednesday off. So she'll probably take Wednesday off. She'll be here most likely Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Thank you. Good question that I really wasn't prepared to answer. Anyway, any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, let us stand for the blessing. And oh, we have one?
We did adopt a family. We delivered.
Yes.
It was excellent.
Yes, so if you helped with adopt a family in any way, thank you very much. That's always an awesome experience for the family and those involved. So thank you. Thank you for that. So, yes, so thank you for that. And now please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. And before the blessing, I want to make note of our sending hymn is Joy to the World, but if you look in your hymnal, it's an Advent song, and right on the cusp of Christmas, I feel it is appropriate. So I didn't break my rule. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
the powerful from their thrones
and lifted up the lowly.
He has filled the hungry with good things
and sent the rich away empty.
This is the good news. Go forth and proclaim that he is near.
We live.